This is a DMB Society podcast.
I got a sister named Jane.
And this is the pod that Jane likes. And now, here are your hosts, Jeanette, Trisha, Matt, and Sean.
Hi, hello. Welcome back to the pod that Jane likes. I'm Sean, and you are tuned into episode number 53. DMB's tour wrapped up just about a week ago, giving us some time to crawl back into our own beds. It gave us some time to rest and reflect on the tour that was. And if you happen to follow us on socials, then you probably already know that we hit the road pretty hard this fall. The pod that Jane likes had boots on the ground for every stop except Charlottesville. And now we are looking forward to the opportunity to kind of unwind and take a look back at the tour with all of you. It might have been just a tiny little tour, but there's an awful lot to unpack, from show recaps to our experiences from the road. We're really excited to share all of it with you. And of course, the we that I'm referring to are my co-hosts, my friends, Jeanette, Trisha, Matt. How's everyone doing?
Hey, Sean.
Hello.
How is everybody?
It's a little cold.
Yeah.
It's a little cold.
Very cold.
Up here in the north.
That happens this time of year. That happens. Also a trait of a fall tour, right? You get crisp air and the leaves are gone and it's that last little bit of enjoyment before you kind of hunker into the
just like our fall tour, our fall tour logo that you so beautifully designed, Sean. You know, it just encompasses all of that.
Put your hat on, put your scarf on, then you get in the venue and sweat. So then you have to take it all off.
That's right. Yeah. So before we do have a lot to say about the fall tour, but before we talk about that, to wrap up the DMB year, we hosted our first ever live event in New York City, and we thought that we would take an opportunity here in our first segment to chat about that, to recap the party. So let's do that. Let's chat about it in our first segment, The Opener. So prior to DMB taking the stage for the final time in the States, night two at Madison Square Garden, we, the pod that Jane likes, hosted our first ever live event.
You mean we opened for the band?
We opened for the band. Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you.
Yes. Matt nailed it. And of course, there wasn't an opening act. We were, in fact, that opening act. And I will just say, and then we'll kind of, you know, all chat about it collectively. I was really excited for the party, and I think what actually played out surpassed what my level of excitement was. It was so much fun. It was such a great time to meet everybody, to record in front of a live audience. We had a blast in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure did. We sold out the event and then even had some walk-ins. And that was super exciting and humbling, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude.
Absolutely. And I think, we sold it out. I remember in the beginning saying, guys, this is our first time. If 20 people show up, that's a win. We'll learn from it. And here we sold it out. And, you know, I think there was so much good feedback. And I really do think there was a couple of things. Like, one, I think people enjoyed, watching us interact and watching and seeing how a recording happens. But I also think before a show, we're all older now. We want to sit down and we want to have a drink and be able to talk to our friends and not go to a meetup where it's like so crowded and you have to wait 30 minutes to get a drink and it's hot. And I feel like people appreciated that really kind of chill environment that was still like fun and lively and short, right? Like we recorded for 45 minutes or so and mingled the rest of the time. And I think I'm just super grateful that people came out. And I think we all agreed, like, we're probably going to do this again.
Absolutely. It was so fun.
Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway, was the fact that I want to do this again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we learned a lot from doing this the first time. I think we learned what works, what didn't work. And one of the other biggest takeaways, and I will give a shout out to all involved who helped us on our yes. little PTJL team.
Oh my God, I know.
Which we could not have done.
Our Santa's little helpers.
Without the team.
Absolutely.
It was, there were just those little things that, you know, it just helped to have extra sets of hands, and it, you know, just things that we couldn't anticipate until we got into the venue and started to set up and realized that we needed to focus our attention on these things. And so there was no way that we could focus our attention on those things. And so I think that there's a lot of stuff that we took away from this. But again, my biggest takeaway is I want to do this again. I want to do it next summer. We need to find the right venue for DMB and the right venue for us, but I definitely want to do it next summer. So I'm going to be championing that
right
as we go.
You know, for me, it was really amazing to look out in the crowd and see friends and family. But then also after the fact, to have people that I have no clue who they are come up to me and say, like, I'm a listener, I'm a fan, I wasn't sure, you know, I wasn't sure if I should come, but I came, so glad I came. And, you know, those kinds of things were so great to hear, and just so grateful for all that. That was
yeah,
amazing.
I didn't know half the people in the room.
Right.
That was a surprise.
Which is like, which is wonderful, right? Because it's like, not only are these people, they're not listening to us because they know us, right? They're listening to us because they appreciate our content. And we're also making new friends through them. And I think that that is beautiful. And it was international. My husband's cousin was here from Poland. We had people from Poland at our event. I love that.
Actually, there were people in the event from Poland, from Seattle, from Phoenix. Yes. It was a worldwide event opener.
You know, the other people that we didn't know, they could have been from anywhere.
Anywhere,
you
right?
know, the people we didn't know, who we didn't talk to, or, you know, they could have come from... Lord knows.
I have a surprise question for everybody.
Oh.
Can we go around the room? Can everybody name their favorite part of the event? One thing. Can be anything.
Ooh, I'll go first. I'll
okay,
go first.
Matt, you go first.
My favorite part of the event was, and if you were there, you listened to our episode, you know that I pitched to everybody that I wanted for one of our giveaways to do a James Brown style dance off for the prize.
We put the kibosh on it.
And everybody said, no way, that's silly. And then as we were talking about it live on the show, Ari from DMB Radio, who was our guest, really sort of indulged me and was like, yeah, let's try to think about ways we can incorporate that in. And that was my favorite part. Looking over to my left and to my right, seeing the different expressions on Ari's face, Jeanette's face, Sean's face, and Trisha's face were, I'm like, is this really going to happen? Is this really going to be the way that this thing winds down? And then Ari being like, yeah, just might be. So that was my favorite part of the afternoon. It was great.
I think for me, my favorite part actually took place when the recording part was over, and it was getting to meet a bunch of people. Some of the people that I maybe have met online or have interacted with us, have sent questions or comments or suggestions, whatever it may be. So some of those people were familiar faces. Some of the other people were not people that I've ever interacted with before. But it was so much fun after the recording was over to just kind of bounce around the room. So many people had stories about where they listen to the podcast, whether it is on their way to work or taking the dog for a walk or driving home from school. There was somebody that was a teacher mentioned that to me. So I thought it was so cool to hear how people consume the podcast, which varied, in addition to getting to meet a whole bunch of new people.
Trisha, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, the whole people seeing people from, you know, family to friends from my childhood to new people to listeners, that was all great. If I think about the recording, and I truly mean that, it was very heartwarming, but just to take a different answer than Sean, I liked our New York jam session.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. I thought that's a keeper. If you haven't heard it, you can go back to our previous episode and listen to it. I thought that was really good. And honestly, it was cool recording with a live audience and hearing the reactions over the recording and hearing them cheer. And that really,
and including them inspiring. In it, right? Like having, like reading out some of their favorite moments too. Like that was fun. Yeah.
That was fun. That was really fun. How about you, Jeanette?
My favorite part happened that nobody else could see it but us, but we were in the green room before we went on stage. And right before we went on, right before the intro started, the four of us hugged each other. And that was my favorite moment. I was like, we're in this together. This is it. No turning back now. And it was just, that was just the best moment ever. Oh, and then Ari making us do vocal exercises before we went. That was
a little behind the scenes.
Yeah, a little behind the scenes.
Was good. It was such a good time. And as Matt mentioned, we really hope that we have the opportunity to do it again. We very much, it was a brand new experience for us. It's not something that we've done before. And we had such a great time putting on that party that we very much hope that was simply our first party. And we look forward to potentially more events in the future. Before we jump too far into the future, though, why don't we take a show-by-show recap, if you will, of the 2023 fall tour, and we can roll right into that in our next segment called The Jam. Okay, so the 2023 fall tour is in the books. It's complete. It was just a tiny little tour, but there was an awful lot jammed into the 8 shows that the band performed. It really kind of felt, I know that there was a day or two off in between the opening show and the final show, but it sort of felt from a fan's perspective like it was just a nonstop run. As soon as the band took the stage to kick off the show, it just kind of felt like it was full throttle. I can't imagine if that's how it felt as a fan, what it must have felt like to be a member of the crew or the band. But it was a lot of music crammed into a really small package. Just really quickly before we jump into the shows, I think it's worth pointing out DMB played 8 shows in this fall tour and performed 88 different songs over the course of 8 shows. Just to kind of put that into perspective, I went back and pulled the numbers for the previous few fall tours. In 2022, 11 shows, 75 songs. In 2018, 12 shows, 68 songs. In 2015, 21 shows, 72 songs. So really,
great statistic.
A totally different vibe in terms of them kind of doing something a little bit different each night, really opening up that catalog, and it made the tour that much more fun to kind of follow.
Yeah, it felt like it was a continuation, almost like a greatest hits of the summer, right? You know, you think about, I'll speak from my experience. You know, MSG, we get a Spoon opener one of the nights, and it's like, in any other year, you'd be like, oh my God, you know, like that's enough to make the whole show, even if the rest of it was like, you know, Hunger for the Great Light on repeat. And, you know, that's just the way that 2023 was as a year for DMB. That was just like, you know, the tip of the iceberg. I just felt as we were getting ready to go to MSG Night 1 and I was looking at, you know, all the stats that Sean had brought, that was completely my thought. It was just like, wow, this is like a nod, a greatest hits, whatever you want to talk about. A great hat tip to, you know, the best year that we've seen in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think the band deserves an awful lot of credit for kind of keeping things fresh, not only through the summer, but then rolling into the fall tour. You never know what to expect when you run into a short tour like this, and that's what that was. So let's kind of jump right into things. So the tour got underway on Tuesday, November 7th in Savannah, Georgia. And kind of keeping with this theme of 2023 being so unpredictable, the band takes the stage shortly after 7:30 p.m. Everybody's kind of waiting to see what they're going to open with. And what I don't think anybody could have predicted is what happened. What happened is the band opened with The Maker. And to kind of put that into perspective, the last time that the band had opened with The Maker prior to that was September 9th, 1992 at a frat party in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Wow.
Over 11,000 days in between those two Maker openers. So, you know, kind of out of nowhere start
out of nowhere.
To the tour.
I mean, I think we all, as a DMB fan does, you always call the opener and we were not even close to that one.
Well, there were so many of those moments all year, right? I mean, again, I'll speak from experience. Guilford Night 2, we get Proudest Monkey in the E1 slot, which was the first time that that had happened since 1995, you know, and there were that, it just felt like those types of stats and those types of things were happening every single night. Like we talked about the Spoon opener, right? Like that was like the second or third Spoon opener of 2023. And Spoon had, I think, either never opened a show or it only opened a show like one time before, Sean. Is that right?
Correct.
And so, yeah, it just felt like those kinds of things were just, it was like, yeah, you know, like if we were in 2022, you'd be like, oh my gosh. But like 2023, you're kind of like, oh, okay. You know, it's another crazy thing that's happening. You know, it's just, again, 2023 was spectacular overall.
Yeah. Savannah, I was there. I will say that The Maker, you know, there was a lot going on in the world. And that opener to me just felt like, I can't describe it other than saying it was like a collective sigh or like breath together. Like it was like, okay, this is how we're kicking off. Dave kind of wants like a healing vibes here. And that's just kind of how it felt. Because that caught everybody off guard. I think it was just like a softer start, a more healing start to the tour. Savannah is such a beautiful city. One thing I wanted to highlight is that was DMB's first zero waste event with End Market Arena. And so, I mean, they had posted about it. They achieved like zero waste. They sorted through 1,700 pounds of compost. They avoided 100% single-use plastic. So they used like aluminum cups. One of the things I thought was interesting was they provided 3,000 free shuttle rides. And I remember going there. I took an Uber. Like, here's me, the bad girl. I saw the shuttles. They were just all lined up. And I'm like, oh, my God, they are, like, literally taking everybody from all over the city to the arena.
That's so cool.
And so I thought that was pretty cool. And they had, like, people donated canned goods. So they had, like, 500 pounds of plant-based food that was donated. And they had plant-based recipes. And I mean, it was a brand-new arena. We had talked about this in our fall tour preview. So it was, like, a very cool, clean sort of vibe that they were given. And then of course the show started with The Maker. And you know, for me, I will say I wanted one of the pod controversial songs played, and it was played. They had a nice When the World Ends, Lover Lay Down, Can't Stop, Say Goodbye run, and ooh mama was it hot in there. So that was a fun little show.
I would sacrifice a Can't Stop and When the World Ends for a Lover Lay Down and Say Goodbye. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Seems like a fair trade-off.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But Trisha, thank you so much for sharing all that information about the zero waste, because I knew that they were doing it, but I didn't know how. And I loved, like, oh, the aluminum cups and the shuttles. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's very cool.
That really shows that we can actually do something, you know?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Absolutely.
You got to do much more than believe, Jeanette.
This is true.
If you want to see the world change.
Yeah, remember two things. Love your mother and leave only your footprints.
So from Savannah, the band and Trisha and probably an awful lot of other people, because of the proximity of these two shows, the band rolled into Greenville, South Carolina for the second night of the show. Now we get to what Matt was touching on a little bit earlier, because for night two of the tour, when DMB took the stage, those first couple notes of the night brought with it the first couple of notes of Spoon, which marked just the second time in the history of DMB that Spoon had opened up a show. So in back-to-back nights, you're talking about an opener that previously had taken place 11,000 days prior to the last Maker opener. And then the next night opens up with Spoon, not only a song that has only opened a show one other time, but a song that people chase for years, for decades, years. Depending yeah. upon how many shows you go to. It's not easy to hear Spoon at any point in a set list, but to open in, or to hear it to open a show is almost unheard of.
Listen, I'll never sleep on a South Carolina show again. I'll tell you that.
Remember when you weren't going for 5 minutes?
I wasn't going till 6 p.m. that night. But there's something about South Carolina, and I'm not talking about the set or the band. I'm talking about the people. Something about the people are nice in South Carolina. It felt like everybody was just so cordial. It's hard to explain the vibes. If you're in South Carolina and a listener, you got good vibes down there. It was just a really happy environment, and you know, the set was great. And in fact, I would say behind Mohegan Night 2, which we'll talk about, I thought Greenville was incredible with the Spoon opener. You never know. I wanted Walk Around the Moon and Monsters, and it could happen all in one set. I thought that was cool.
That's interesting.
And of course, I want it.
You think it was the best set behind Mohegan Night 2?
I do. You never know. Got Drunken Soldier randomly.
Must have been the tour debut of Jimmy Thing. That's probably
the
what
tour debut,
also,
yes.
Do you hear that? Hold, what is that? Oh, that's Madison Square Garden would like a word.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Is okay, Madison Square Garden not on this tour all of a sudden? Yes. Or
it's its own thing.
All right, here's my hot take. Greenville was better than all of Charlottesville. How about that? Is that
Wow.
I actually was going to say this was the weakest show of the whole tour for me, but
When you get like a Spoon opener and a One Sweet World, sure, and then you get You Never Know.
The Spoon opener, I was definitely like, no surprise.
Drunken
really.
Soldier, randomly.
You're right.
Just Breathe, Two Step. I don't know.
Also, this is me coming from somebody who's looking on paper. You were there. Boots on the ground, are on the street reporter. You were there. So
I will say this.
I trust your opinion.
Drunken Soldier got mentioned, and I want to point out that included in the middle of this set was Rooftop. And Rooftop is very randomly a song that was played two times the entire summer tour. We've talked a lot about the fact that Away From the World just doesn't seem to get a whole lot of live love from this band. And Rooftop is a song that seems like it gets played more than it does. Two performances all of the summer tour. Now that number doubled to four plays during this fall tour. But when they rolled into Rooftop during this performance, I couldn't help but go back and kind of pull the numbers on what the summer looked like. And I was happy to see Rooftop make a little bit of a comeback, and that album make a little bit of a comeback. Drunken Soldier, Rooftop. I'm here
Me
for that.
Too. I that album, we've said this 100 times, it does not get enough love. It deserves so much more play than it gets. And it's very interesting because an album like Stand Up gets a lot of plays, and then an album like Away From the World doesn't. And just, we all know how I feel about Stand Up. I don't think it's a secret.
That you just love it. Your
the whole
piece.
Pod loves so much. My favorite album. No, I think it's, I want to curse, but I'm not going to just.
I can't wait till our Stand Up.
Oh, it's going to just gonna be me shitting on the whole entire thing.
Oh.
It's going to be three of you shitting.
And that's Jeanette not cursing.
But yeah, I agree with the Away From the World scent.
Yeah, two songs. And one other thing to point out about this Greenville show is the main set concludes. We get into the encore part of the show, and the set list just has Dave Solo written on it. And Dave takes the stage and runs back Pearl Jam's Just Breathe. And I found that interesting because for whatever reason, and obviously this was not accurate, sort of chalked Just Breathe up to kind of being a Gorge moment. I didn't know that that was going to be something that we would get after the Gorge.
Same,
I'm glad that it stuck around. I welcome new covers. The band certainly, and we might get into this a little bit later, but they certainly have a bunch of covers that can sometimes get played into the ground. So I'm here for that. But I was a little surprised.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so from Greenville, South Carolina, the band then rolls into their first two-night stand of the fall tour, and it brings them back home to Charlottesville, Virginia, John Paul Jones Arena. Of course, the Friday night concert series brought the show to everybody who wasn't in attendance, and kind of keeping with our theme here of the really unique openers that we've gotten on this tour, Charlottesville Night One opens up with Busted Stuff, a song that, ironically, considering it opens the album with its namesake, has never opened a DMB show before. So once again, back-to-back-to-back shows that I think the openers were essentially impossible to predict. The band really dug deep for all three. Mm-hmm. And here we have a really beloved song in Busted Stuff appearing in the opening slot for the first time ever.
All right, I lied before. This is actually my least favorite set of the tour.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on.
Now that I'm looking at it. With the exception of Trombone Shorty, of course.
Sure, exactly. Saves the day. I think my FOS score is a 6 on this one.
Yeah, I think you're. Oof. I think we were. Well, we were, because yeah, I think we were all listening live on SiriusXM and discussing that, you know, we weren't really given high FOS scores on this one, huh?
Yeah, Matt, what did you think? Because I know I have a quote you said that I love to share.
Oh, receipts.
It was about typical situation. It was about typical situation being sort of the first. I think I said it stopped the bleeding with the opening run. I mean, the thing is, you go to Charlottesville, right? You go to a big venue like Charlottesville, or you go to a big venue like MSG or the Gorge, and you really expect to, like, you know, be blown away with every song. You want, like, you know, Pig, Crush, Stone, you know, like all in a row, right? Like, that's what you're looking
deep
for.
Deep cuts.
And in a lot of cases, you get it. But this just, you know, and I think the show started to take off, you know, and I think Night Two was really good also. You know, John Durath coming out, Shorty, obviously we're going to talk about that when we get to, or at least I want to talk about that when we get to MSG. You know, I think the rest of the show was good, you know. Overall, it was not, you know, the barn burner that you would expect from beginning to end. At least on paper. Again, you know, you're there, you're having a good time. But
if you're there looking, and you were listening,
when you're going through this exercise like we are now,
right?
You know, it would appear a little bit different,
right? And any other time or any other year, this might have been the greatest show. But we're comparing it to this tour, right, or this year. So take that
in Charlottesville,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Your quote was, well, this might as well be a Tuesday in Detroit.
That's right.
That was the quote.
That's right. Yep.
We're so sorry to all of our Tiger fans that listen to the podcast. No, I think Matt mentioned the guests that we had. John Durath came out and played on Proudest Monkey and Satellite. Interestingly enough, John Durath has performed with the band almost a dozen times, and he's never performed on Monkey Satellite, which I thought was interesting because his sound fits so naturally into that song. And I thought it sounded really good. And then Trombone Shorty comes out for Crush, which Crush, and we're going to get into this as the tour continues, but Trombone Shorty guesting on Crush, for me personally, kind of turned into one of my highlights for the entire tour. He then followed it up with a Louisiana Bayou performance. So Charlottesville Night One gets the guests. We roll into Night Two, and you guessed it, another out of left field opener. Old Dirt Hill opens Charlottesville Night Two, first time that it has opened a show in since 2015. So four consecutive shows. We're not getting the standard cookie cutter openers by any stretch. We're getting songs that have either never opened shows or haven't opened shows in many, many years. I it's not a coincidence, right? Like these were pretty calculated set list creations, I imagine.
we go from a score of a 6 for me to a score of like a 15. So huge difference in night two.
Right.
You know, big difference. I love that number 27 pop in. And of course, Best of What's Around, Cry Freedom, you know, some good gems in that one.
Absolutely. Yeah, this one is definitely. And again, Trombone Shorty comes out, right?
Yeah, so we get the same two guests from night one. So John Dearth comes out for The Maker and Warehouse. Trombone Shorty comes out for Jimmy Brickhouse Ants. One thing I want to notice mention before we kind of pass it up is kind of in the middle of this set list, in the 9 and 10 slot, we have Minaret's Cry Freedom. Two songs that have been around for an awful long time. Certainly each song has their own fan clubs and deservedly so. But what I found to be so interesting about the placement of these two songs, prior to this night two in Charlottesville, Minarets and Cry Freedom were last played back to back on February 6th, 1996. If that date sounds familiar to you, it's because it's the Luther College Dave and Tim release. And if you want to go back to the last DMB show to feature Minarets and Cry Freedom back to back, you got to go back to November 19th, 1994 in Boulder, Colorado.
Wow. Yeah. And to hear songs like Minarets and Cry Freedom in the city of Charlottesville, where the band birthed those songs, is pretty special.
I kind of set a different stage for Savannah and Greenville because I was there, but it would be, you know, we'd be remiss not to mention, you know, all of our friends and listeners that were there having really the most incredible time outside of the show. Like if they were at Blenheim or they went to go see Sanjay's pop up
or Miller's.
Miller's, like
Joe Luller did a show, the Night Zero, I believe. Like there was so much stuff to do in Charlottesville.
Yeah, and you can see the like love and connections kind of oozing across the airwaves. So if you were there, and we might be like talking about your show, we know and completely understand what Charlottesville meant to you in terms of the connections you made in this DMB community.
Yeah, and I will add to that as we wrapped up that Charlottesville night two show, we wrapped it up with the longest performance of any song this whole tour. And it was a 16-minute and 2-second two-step. Not only did that two-step have a lot of length to it, we got two-step a number of times over the course of the summer, but I really thought that this two-step kind of stood out, you know, Time Bomb intro excluded. I really thought that this two-step sounded pretty fantastic and, you know, kind of puts a nice little bow on the Charlottesville weekend.
Absolutely. Can I just say one other thing that I wanted to point out? Spaceman got a play and has gotten several plays this year. And I just love Spaceman.
Me
I just
too.
To,
welcome I just back, to Spaceman. That.
Welcome
I'm so
back,
glad.
Spaceman.
I'm so glad he's back. You know,
Spaceman is like one of the big whiskey songs that I think really translates well into a live environment. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say that because oftentimes I'm like, what are they doing playing this song or that song? And I just wanted to say thank you for just Spaceman, period. That's the statement.
That's the statement.
That's the statement.
It's a
kind of shirt.
It's a great call, Matt. In some ways, 2023 was a welcome back party for Spaceman. 10 total performances in 2023. That's the most love Spaceman has received since 2015. So it's been a while since we've gotten this much Spaceman, you know, plays in one calendar year. And I echo all of that. I am here for it.
Maybe Walk Around the Moon had them make people think about space. And that's why they played it.
Maybe the spaceman is walking around.
We'll go with that.
Who knows if that's the case? But one thing we do
put it
know
on your list
sure.
of questions, Matt.
Put it on.
Oh
the
yeah,
list.
That's going to be number one.
Yes, and in the meantime, as we get to that answer, we'll kind of continue with our fall tour recap. Charlottesville made way to Mohegan Sun for two nights as the band kind of continued on these back-to-back-to-back two-night stands. So DMB rolled into Mohegan Sun Arena for a Monday-Tuesday performance. Here again, they kind of keep us guessing with the opening track of the night. We were in attendance, myself, Trisha, Jeanette, and of course, It wasn't just us, but an awful lot of people were really excited when the little red guitar gets brought out to start the show. Mm-hmm. You know, it really causes the mind to wonder, what could this be? We ended up getting Squirm. I love a Squirm opener, just the second time that it's opened up a show since 2019.
Yeah, I also love a Squirm opener. I was pleased with that. I mean, I think we definitely had a conversation, Sean and I specifically, that when Sean and I are at a show, maybe Shotgun should be the opener, because we were both at... It's only ever happened that one time, and we were both at the show, so we were kind of like, oh my God, maybe it's going to happen again, but I am completely satisfied with a Squirm opener.
I thought the Squirm opener was summoning Matt, who was not in attendance, but probably wanted to be.
Yep.
Summoning you. To come.
One of the other Big Whiskey songs that I really enjoy live. It's one of the other ones, Speaking of Spaceman, that I think really holds up, and even I think opens up a little bit more in a live environment. I just think it's got, you know, just that first lyric about, you know, coming in and settling down, and you know, I just think it's like a nice welcoming opener, even though the song, you know, kind of goes off the rails. It's, you know, I love it as an opener. So I definitely was sad that I missed that.
And speaking of Big Whiskey, they also played Seven, and me and mm-hmm. Trisha love Seven. Sean and Matt, yes. Not so much.
It was hot.
Well, again, if we want to keep talking about Big Whiskey, I love Studio Seven. I think Studio Seven is awesome. I love the fact that Roy was very involved in Studio Seven, and I think that taking his riff and building the song off of mm-hmm. that is great, but agreed. I don't necessarily think that it translates well
This is a great preface for a debate, a song debate. Ooh. At some point.
Because so. I'm starting to think maybe you like Studio because you don't like to see Dave shaking anything up there for us.
Wow. So Matt has actually told me that in private.
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah, Sean and I talk about this all the time. You know,
you have side chats. Yep.
All the songs that I'm like, stop shaking it. You know, you're just me.
That's right.
It's too much.
Yeah. And for, you know, people who are trying to visualize what these conversations between Matt and I are like, it's mostly GIFs.
Yes.
GIFs of them rolling their eyes.
Swapping GIFs back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
But Mohegan's great. I don't know what it is about that venue.
Same.
I don't know.
It's so fun.
It's so fun. And I just don't know if like everything's so big. Like, it's a casino, right? So it's just like there's space and it's just roomy. I don't know. Like, it just doesn't
feel like Connecticut air.
It's overwhelming. The Connecticut air. That's what it is. But also
the casino air they're pumping in.
We saw so many of our listeners there too. And it was really great to get to say hi to everybody and meet a few people that we hadn't met before. So that was really fun at Mohegan too.
Yeah. And Mohegan, I think just the nature of it being a show that takes place into a casino, it sort of feels like all you have to do is get to the casino and then the rest of your night just sort of happens, right?
Yeah.
There's restaurants there. There's bars there. There's people hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the same thing when the show lets out. You're just dumped back into the casino. You're almost dumped into more restaurants and bars. So it just kind of feels
dumped
like
is actually dumped is the word that I would use to describe when leaving a concert at Mohegan. Every time, like, you just get like caught up in this sea of people and no one's moving. Yes. And then all of a sudden you get out and it's like ding, 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 ding. And you're just like, oh my gosh, what happened? You know, I was just at the show and now
let's
here
party.
I am. Like, yeah. Right. Like, oh my God.
Right.
So in some ways, Matt, you're kind of leading us in perfectly to Mohegan Night 2, because there were several times during Mohegan Night 2 where I kind of either turned to people next to me or said to myself, what is happening? Because
seriously,
there were a number of those moments. Right from the jump, the band takes the stage and we get a Busted Stuff opener, which kind of to an earlier point that we talked about in how crazy of a year 2023 has been. It's only ever happened twice ever, and there was almost like a sense of when they burst into Busted Stuff, like, oh yeah, it's a Busted Stuff opener. And I thought that way too for a split second, and then I was like, wait a minute, this does not happen. This isn't a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Busted Stuff opener, and then wasn't confusing enough, the band rolls right into Wanted Dead or never mind. I mean, Straight Dead. great show.
In so the two slot, a brand new song in the two slot. I don't understand that at all.
We're already confused. Take a moment and talk about this.
Yes, we absolutely should, because it was a confusing moment, but also at the same time, Sean say, like, where everybody's just like, what's happening? What's happening? You know, it's exciting. It's exciting.
I don't even care what it sounded like in that moment. I was like, oh my God. Anytime a new song drops, I'm like, oh my God, they're still writing songs. Agreed. Oh my God, there's a song out there. Like, oh, they still love us.
Absolutely.
You know, they're still going.
Absolutely. Especially like back to Cha Cha, right? Like on yep. a year where we have a full album release and we're getting brand new songs that didn't make the album that we've never heard, our ears have never heard. This is the Amazing. Second time that that's happened this year. Unreal.
It makes you think that they should have released like a B-side yeah. or something for Walk Around the Moon, like maybe like a little bonus disc, maybe as part of like a box set or something. That might have been cool.
Box set.
With Bismarck on it.
Bismarck, Cha-Cha, Straight Shot, you know, maybe throw in one more alternate take of something and
there you go.
There you go. There you go. Put it in a nice little box, ship it out, you know, maybe
this podcast a loves a box set.
Stay tuned for me and Sean's spinoff show called Box Sets. Called Box Sets. And we're just gonna go track by track for every DMB box set. We're gonna talk about how much we love it. So stay tuned for that. Box Sets coming in 2024.
Oh my gosh. Did you guys like the new song? I personally I liked it. I liked the lyrics and I thought there was a good jam at the end, but
It's a lot of lyrics. There's a lot of lyrics to this song. And it's also a bit of an unknown song. You know, there's so many times where we know an awful lot about a song when it comes out, whether it's from copyright dates or things that, you know, sometimes people will take photographs of things in studio and then we find things out. We don't know much about Straight Shot. We know that kind of the rumored story is that it's something that the band has been playing with for a little bit of time now. There are rumors that it goes all the way back to Dave and Tim kind of messing around with it during soundcheck in Mexico, but nothing ever came of that. Now we get a full band version, of course, night two of Mohegan. So yeah, I first and foremost, I sort of agree with what Tricia was saying. I get excited anytime the band is writing new music, and that's pretty apparent that that's what was happening here.
Well, if no one got Sean's joke in the beginning, I think people are saying it sounds like Wanted, yes. Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if
sounds you like it is.
Well, maybe some of our listeners didn't hear it. Now they're going to hear it, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm mad. I actually didn't hear it until I think Sean said it at the show.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. That's Dead or Alive.
I will say,
Dave
I love the little fills that Jeff has during the song. You know, I think that not enough new DMB music has that. I'm all for more of that, you know, that sort of a presence on a track.
I thought you were going to say, I really love Bon Jovi.
I know. I thought you were going to say that too.
I thought you were going to say,
I love Dead or Alive.
I love Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi. It's been my anthem for decades and decades. And now here I am.
Just living it up in Mohegan.
Yep. Yeah,
that's right.
And then Dave was like, all right, I'm going to give you a new one. You may not like it, but here's Pig Walk Around the Moon recently, Jane.
Yeah, right. So just in case you couldn't breathe before and here now you really can't breathe.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Not too
incredible run. This was when shabby. I was really upset that I was not there.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
kind of an unbelievable way to roll into the first half of the Mohegan show. And then, of course, that show wraps up with Christmas Song and Crush, and next thing you know, we are speeding off from Connecticut to New York City, where the band wrapped up the 2023 fall tour with back-to-back nights at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. And, you know, speaking of nights that sort of you scratch your head, in the best way possible, you know, we've talked about a number of times on this show before, DMB shows that kind of keep you guessing and you know, shows in which you don't know what's coming next are kind of the most fun ones to be a part of. And Madison Square Garden, especially in the last few years of this band, is textbook having no idea what is coming next.
Mm-mm. What a whirlwind. That's all I can say. I mean, it started off a little slow, not gonna lie. You know, I don't Virginia and Lorraine, we've discussed this before, it's not a show opener. Like, I don't know why Dave keeps trying to make it a show opener, because I love this song, but like, it just doesn't go there, you know? It's like that puzzle piece doesn't fit there, Dave, so move it somewhere else. And then to follow it up with Old Dirt Hill, we all know how I feel about that song. So it was just kind of like, oh, all right. And I really thought we were getting a snoozer. I really was like, oh, okay. Madison Square Garden's not getting, getting like the treatment it deserves. And then first, actually, Best of What's Around.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. Let's not forget a Boa sighting.
I mean, Jeff killed it. It was incredible. Yeah. He lit the stage up.
Yep.
And then Susan Tedeschi walked on stage. And
speaking
then
of lighting the stage
on,
up.
Yeah, from that moment on, I wasn't there. I was up above. I was on the roof.
Up above.
I was floating over the crowd at Madison Square Garden.
I was on the moon with Spaceman.
Yeah.
Derek Trucks sent me up there.
If you listened to last week, I called this an all-timer. I said that at our show, and, you know, stepping back again and looking at it and re-listening to it, I really continue to think that there were just moments here. There were moments within this show that could have highlighted individual shows, you know, 10 times over.
Right. And one of these things could have highlighted
happened. Yeah. You could have said, oh, that was the night that, you know, Susan Tedeschi came out and they played The Wait, right? Oh. And that would have been enough.
That would have been enough.
But then Derek Trucks was also there and, you know, played Lie in Our Graves. And
they both did Watchtower, too.
And Watchtower in the middle.
Which is, like, incredible. And we keep forgetting that even happened, because Graves and The Wait were so good.
Correct. Exactly. And so then you're kind of coming down, and then, you know, you have probably the best 41 in a long time.
Max.
With James Genus, who is the bass player for the SNL band. He's an incredible, incredible bass player. And then you're sort of coming down from that. And then Shorty, just, you know, who was the last person you would have expected to see, because he had just guested in Charlottesville.
But also, right? It was on Come Together.
On Come Together,
That in itself would have been enough to make this show my favorite show in a long time. That in itself, never mind Shorty just running out on the stage in the middle of it. Incredible.
Yep.
Quite frankly, my favorite Beatles song of all time. So just incredible.
It just kept going and building and continuing to be amazing. You had a late Cry Freedom Pig back to back. And, you know, that was like incredible. And I was just, you know, as we all talked about, I think we were all just like floating away throughout this show. You know, there were
emotional ups and downs.
There were rock and roll ups and downs. Like, you know, like Trumbone Shorty playing on Come Together is full on straight up rock and roll, like, you know, just incredible. And to be there in the building was just awesome. As I said, an all-timer.
Let me ask, Come Together was so much fun. What was the highlight of Come Together, though? Was it the fact that it got played at all? And played at all, we'll add in the fact that it's the first time that it's been played by a full DMB band. So not alternate format at the Gorge, but a full DMB band. It's the first performance. So is it the fact, what was more fun, the fact that it got played at all, or the fact that not only did Trumbone Shorty guest on it, but he wasn't introduced, He didn't come out at the beginning of the song. Mm-hmm. He just had the most badass walk slash run out onto the stage just in time for him to just rip his solo. It was amazing. It was so much fun to be a part of.
Come Together alone would have made the show for me. So for the fact that the full band played Come Together is just, and Shorty's just icing on the cake, because then we got Shorty on Jimmy Thing, and y'all know how I feel about Jimmy Thing, but that was the best Jimmy Thing I mean that I've heard in a very, very long time.
Troy Andrews as part of the DMB horn section is incredible. I know I keep using the word incredible, but if you go back and look at videos, if you listen to the recordings of Charlottesville and of MSG, you will start to realize that when there is another presence within the horn section, that it makes everybody better.
And not only was it Trombone Shorty, but John Faddis was also out there with them during these songs. Yep. And there's nothing better than a horn section. And when you have that many horns on stage and they're just working off of each other, and they sounded incredible. Take me back to that moment right now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of guests. MSG Night One had 5 total guests. Trisha, Matt, and Jeanette kind of, you know, touched on all of these different guest appearances. Did one stand out above the rest? I know that there's a lot to choose from here, but was there one that stood out above the rest for you Night One?
Listen, Derek Trucks on Lionel Graves, I still haven't come back from.
She's still on a crowd.
In Jacksonville in 2021. Whatever. Like, that was my favorite. Yeah. I'm a huge Derek Trucks fan on that song.
An amazing, amazing that Trisha and I were there together in Jacksonville and at MSG. So
yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Our scores for Derek Trucks on Lionel Graves are, you know, if there ever is another one.
Oof, you better be there.
We better be there. Yeah.
I want to be there for every single one till I die.
Well, there's been 2 and they have both been off the charts good. He does his own thing, and my God, does he do it well. So night one, MSG, really incredible standout show, not only of this 2023 fall tour, but I think very easily of the entire 2023 calendar year. What a night that Friday night was at Madison Square Garden. And, you know, we all left the venue knowing that we get to do it again the following night, and we packed back into MSG. And what does this band do for the show? So we opened for the show.
First, we opened for the band.
Right,
we talked about a little bit earlier. We opened, and then after we were done doing our thing, DMB takes the stage and totally ones up anything that we could have possibly done, because DMB did is they took the stage and opened with Spoon, and continued that insanity by following it up with You Never Know. And I was in disbelief.
Mind blown. Especially with the 2 songs that they opened with the first night, right? Like, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I want to hear. Spoon into You Never Know.
I think You Never Know and Best of What's Around at MSG were the 2 best Jeff Coffin performances that I've seen in a very long time. And Jeff is always, you know, on his game, always kills it. But those 2, especially, I said also during our show that Best of What's Around Night One, as, you know, things were getting rolling and, you know, it was kind of a slow start, I thought, well, this is what I'm going to focus on during our show, because Jeff is just killing it. He did his walk to the center of the stage and was sort of like,
love a walk.
Me and Matt looked at each other and went, here he comes. Here he comes.
Yeah. I kept pushing him.
Yeah, you know? Matt was trying to push him out.
Yeah. And then You Never Know, he was sort of in the same zone, and I remember watching him a couple times. It looked like he may have even been like fighting off a cold or something for the last couple shows. And just even with that being said, like, he just absolutely killed it on You Never Know. I think it's my favorite Jeff song, period, is You Never Know.
That's a hot take.
And I just thought he was next level. You know, and I've seen the song over the past few years several times, and you know, I just thought he was awesome.
And we got Captain.
We're just gonna skip right over Hunger for the Great Light.
We'll gloss over that.
Blanked that out.
Keep it moving. Yeah. Not only a captain, but a Mark Whitfield captain, which I've talked about on here before. My favorite kind of captain.
Yes.
He's one of those guests that I don't know what Mark Whitfield looks like playing all of the DMB songs, but I know that his sound as a guitar player fits Captain perfectly.
It's like he was written.
Yes. Yep. Thank you, Jeanette. 100%. That's my thoughts exactly. Mm-hmm. And this version was different. It was, you know, we talked about it. I feel like the rest of the night, because it was a little bit abbreviated. They kind of shortened things up at the end. That aside, Mark's sound is just so fantastic on this track.
Yeah. So I'm not, I didn't lose it, right? They cut that song in half.
Mm-hmm. No, they did.
Cut it at its legs, right?
They did. Yeah. Which was a little confusing. Yeah. But
it was, it was missing the bridge part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened. I was trying to figure it out as I listened back to it a couple of times, because I really, musically, it's awesome.
It Mark still sounds great, but we just know that it's awesome. Missing a part, right?
And I think what happened is Dave was about to go into that, and like Mark, like, I don't know if Mark cut him off or Dave was just like, go. And so it didn't have the bridge part. And then Dave came back and just ended the song without trying to do the bridge again, which it does happen again at the end. But again, musically, it was awesome. I will say that I think that Night 2 MSG was like, the band had poured their soul and their heart into Night 1, putting it together. We talked about this afterwards. Putting it together had to have taken rehearsing, had to have taken a lot of time to get it right. Coordination with, you know, Shorty being there and all the other guests being there. And Night 2 felt like there was certainly some fatigue in some places. And I'm not saying that to take away from the night or the moment or anything like that, because the band was like, this is what we have left, and we're going to give you everything that we have left. They gave us everything that they had. And that was awesome. And you could, you know, even like an exhausted Dave comes out for the encore and plays Baby Blue, which I was so happy to hear. Again, another Big Whiskey song that I will never not want to hear. He sounded tired. He said his voice was all scratched up. But he's like, this is what I'm here to give this to you. And I thought that was awesome of everybody involved to just, you know, really just drain themselves, because they knew that it was like, you know, that it was like the last night. So I did just want to mention that, because I felt like that was prevalent a few times. Absolutely. Throughout the night.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that the band gave us, and here's one that everyone had been clamoring for a long time, the return of Smooth Ride.
But
are we glossing over the lib?
And actually, and I think I know what the butt is going to be about, and I agree with it, because in typical Fall Tour 2023 fashion, Trombone Shorty comes out and totally turns everything up on its head.
Saved the day.
Yep. We were standing near him on the floor, so we knew he was there. And as soon as they went into that song, just the groove that they were getting into, I texted everybody and I said, Shorty's coming out to finish this.
Yep.
And again, he stumbled, ran
right on,
used whatever,
thank God,
whatever you want to use to describe how he appeared on stage, and just killed it again, because he's Triple Shorty.
And listen, I know that there are some lovers out there with Smooth Rider, and that's good for you, but you all know how I feel about Stand Up album. And guys, Dave is just not a Smooth Rider, okay?
Oh my God.
Could you imagine Dave on a motorcycle with aviators on the just smooth riding around? No, he's not.
Oh.
Oh.
I had a lot different thought about if he's smooth or not. And I'm like,
I just don't think in this way. I just don't think this is the kind of smooth riding he does. Okay.
He's smooth riding into Crush. And that was good.
That was
smooth ride.
Amazing. I was so happy for that Crush. That was a great Crush with Shorty on that one. Amazing.
Trombone Shorty might need to be in this.
Get him a bus.
The Band Likes Hall of Fame.
In the horn section.
Get him a bus.
Get him into the horn section. Yeah. I mean, the rest of the night, as the horns were going at it, Ants
Unbelievable.
Was one of the best performances I've ever seen of Ants. Certainly my favorite Ants post Boyd that I've seen. No, like hands down. Again, everybody just one-upping each other, going around, breathing new life, you know, breathing new life into the horn section, because, you know, they play this song a lot. They're doing their thing and they're such talented musicians. But when you have somebody else in there who's like, you could see Rashawn and Jeff just be like, all right, like, let's keep going and let's, you know, let's try to one up each other. I thought that was so, so awesome. Favorite Ants in a long, long time, as I said.
We can't skip over Corey Wong.
No, we definitely can't. I mean, we've talked about how impactful the guests were during the Madison Square Garden weekend. And maybe, I mean, it's so hard to say who the standout was for the entire weekend. But I can tell you that, especially with the songs that they ended this show with. So they end the show with Corey Wong on stage, Tripping Billy, So Much to Say, Bridge, Too Much, Ants. Matt mentioned this with Ants. These are songs that we have heard countless times before. These are songs that are regularly in rotation in this band. Corey Wong takes the stage and totally does his thing on them. I've been looking forward to chatting with you all about what Corey Wong did on those songs, because I was having so much fun, just kind of caught up in the moment. It was such a blast.
He just, this vibe that he has, I got to be honest with you, and this might be controversial, but it was one of the best Tripping Billies I ever heard. Liked it better than a Warren Tripping Billy's. People might come for me with that statement, but he fit into Tripping Billy's so well. I mean, it made me so happy. Corey Wong on stage with the band made me so happy.
I said this to everybody afterwards, because we've talked about it on here, when John Mayer came out and played Number 41 with the band, whenever that was, 07 or something like that. He led the band, you know, he led the band in Number 41, and he knew the song, you know, front to back, obviously. And it had been a big part of his, you know, his growing up, and just like
learning
all of us, you know,
he
learning how to play, exactly, all of those things. So this was a song that he knew. And I felt the exact same way about Corey Wong on Billy's specifically. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say that when I went back to listen to it, I had a completely, you know, new experience. I feel like the mix where
we were standing was not great.
So you could see, you know, you could see that he was having fun up there and you could hear it a little bit, but then going back and listening to it again,
incredible.
It was awesome.
It's funny that you mentioned John Mayer, because Corey Wong has a podcast and he had John Mayer on, and they actually discussed the Dave Matthews Band and how they both grew up listening to them. And there's this specific kind of guitar playing that Dave does, and how, you know, they learned on a lot of these songs, you know, and I just thought that was so interesting. And just like you said, like, John led the band, it's like Corey was doing the same exact thing.
It was special to take songs that we have heard so many times. And then of course, getting to hear, as you guys talked about, Corey explaining how he has, you know, really been into this music for so long and has, you know, played these songs on his own. There was a little segment where he talked about, I've been listening to Carter Beauford play for so long. I take the stage, I'm given my in-ears, and now it's Carter coming on saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. I think the quote he said was, hey, Corey, just have fun. We're here to back you up. You know, imagine listening to somebody of Carter's caliber, you know, for years and years and years, and then taking the stage and then kind of getting to experience that. It was a fun listen, the little interview that Ari and Corey had on SiriusXM a few nights ago. What a way to bring the main set to a close. And then that leaves us with the final encore of the 2023 fall tour. Matt talked about it a little bit earlier. The Little Red Guitar is back up on stage, and it brings us Baby Blue. Dave comes out, kind of does his solo thing. And then then you feel the anticipation in the building. You know, maybe a little bit of nervous energy, if you will.
Yeah, I was so nervous.
People are really
so nervous.
Yeah, I had butterflies.
You did.
I was like, as soon as I saw Craig coming out with the Last Stop guitar,
yep.
You know, because there are multiple 12 strings that Dave plays. And there is a specific one
yep.
that's used for Last Stop. And, you know, I was like, I couldn't believe it. And then as the song is going on, they make it past.
Yes. They make it past
the half stop
yep.
point.
Yep.
And the lights go out and they come back. And I'm like,
oh, my God. We looked at each other like, this is it. Yeah, it's happening.
And then we got what we got, and it was one of the more confusing ends of DMB shows that I've ever been to. It was
so strange,
obviously planned, and I had sort of new appreciation for it after I listened to it again, maybe. Because Immigrant Song, which is a Led Zeppelin song, they played the last part of that song, and you can go look up the lyrics. It's very poignant and powerful. And then it just sort of ended. Mm-hmm. And it was also, you know, Immigrant Song, like the big part everybody knows in that song, because it's been used on commercials and everything, is like that screaming part that Robert Plant does vocally. And like, we didn't get any of that. So I think everyone was just left.
Yeah.
Confused.
It was the biggest takeaway. Like after the show, everybody was saying, like, what just happened? Like, it wasn't just us. I feel like a lot of people were very confused by, I mean, I don't know if it's just because like we never heard them do that before or what, but it just didn't, I don't know. It just didn't go.
I felt like some message got to Dave about cutting the last stop, and he tried. Like, I was actually pretty
He forgets how to play the end of the song.
Yeah, but also he's cutting, like, the one of the most beautiful pieces of music he's ever written. So it's
right,
like,
he didn't just stop it.
He didn't
like
just stop it.
Does.
Right.
And, like, so, like, when I think about what we said in the Fall Tour preview, Jeanette wanted all the guests. We got all the guests. Sean mentioned, like, songs that only got one play and that his favorite version was Captain. We got Captain.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Can't Stop, Shake Me Like a Monkey, 7, Crash, got it all. And then Matt, I feel like you half got what you wanted in some ways, because I feel like there was an attempt.
Yep.
There was an attempt.
You make a really good
point. I guess I would trade half of that song for Trombone Shorty, Two Nights of Trombone Shorty.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's close. It's real close at this point.
A for effort, Dave.
Yeah, it's not quite. I don't really know how to classify what this last stop was, because it wasn't what we've been used to the last couple of years, but it certainly wasn't the full version. So it's certainly something that we'll debate, and a lot of people will debate for some time. It's a great conclusion as a song to Madison Square Garden and wrapping up not only the fall tour, but the U.S. part of Dave Matthews Band as we know it in 2023. Strange ending, to say the least, but a last stop nevertheless. So that's Madison Square Garden Night 2. That's the 2023 fall tour. What a year indeed. I think that this fall tour, the summer tour, 2023 collectively, I feel very confident in saying it's something that we will be talking about as fans of this band for a while. And what a cool thing to get to take in and be a part of. What a year. So what's next? We talked about what the tour was. Now in our final segment, we want to talk about what is next in our third and final segment called Where Are You Going? Okay, where are we going? Well, nowhere
Africa.
Is the answer.
no, we're not going to South Africa?
Oh. I think you're still catching up on sleep, still recovering.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
From, you know,
same.
Had to take a nap right before we recorded tonight. Yeah, a lot of napping, a lot of resting, relaxing. And the band's going to do a little bit of that too. They are essentially off until they head on over to South Africa, where they'll perform two shows December of this year, December 10th and December 12th. Two shows in South Africa. So it'll certainly be interesting to see what those shows look like. And I know that we're excited to take them in from afar. Does anybody have South African thoughts as we head into the two nights that DMB will be in South Africa?
I'd be interested to see, you know, what these sets are going to look like. Are they going to be, you know, sort of like the international slash festival set kind of thing? Because you got to remember that when the band goes international, they're typically playing, you know, it's almost like a hit parade, mm-hmm. because those people don't get to see the band. So they haven't seen Ants and Billy's you know, all the Jimmy things and all that stuff. But I believe the last time the band was in South Africa, they had some cool collaborations, if I remember correctly. Mm. So I'm curious if they're going to have, if there's, you know, some South African musicians who will join them during these two shows. I'm also curious to see how much intel there is on the ground there. You know, we've gotten to a point now where, you know, somebody's going to have their phone up the entire show to record it for everybody who can't make it. And, you know, South Africa, I have no idea what the time difference is, no idea when these shows would be, you know, would be happening. And are there going to be people who are doing that? Or is it going to be, you know, a different kind of crowd and, you know, all those things. So it's cool that they're doing it. I think it's, obviously it's a very important place for Dave himself being from there. And so I'm really interested to see what they end up doing.
And that leaves us, the four of us and this podcast. We will, I guess, in some ways be taking a little bit of a break, like the band is. If you've been listening to us, then you know that we have been coming to you each and every week, kind of recapping what the band has been up to. Well, we're not going to have a whole lot to recap. So we are going to be taking a little bit of a break as we roll into the holidays. And, you know, as things happen, we'll, of course, jump on here and chat about them with all of you. But in the meantime, stay tuned. We'll certainly have more info on when our next episode will drop. You never know what's going to pop up, though, as we roll into the holiday season. You got to keep an open eye.
Yeah, you never know what surprises we have up our sleeve.
I have one more thing to say before we sign off, and that is one of the things that that's also coming up very shortly is Dave and Tim doing their annual Mexico shows on the beach. And if you've never been to Mexico and you're new here, we have we recorded a few episodes last year leading up to Mexico, sort of just what you can expect, what you should pack, and just overall, you know, kind of goes through the experience of taking that vacation. And so if you are planning to take that vacation and didn't listen to these last year, maybe you found us at, you know, a later time, go listen. They're fun little snackable podcasts, I think 15 minutes tops for each one. And they just sort of get you ready for that. And, you know, I'm sure that people who are going this year are going to be starting to think about it as the days get colder and the nights get shorter and you fall asleep at 4 o'clock like I do every day because it's like, it feels like it's midnight. So anyways, something to look forward to. Go listen to our Mexico episodes if you haven't and you're going.
Yeah, go check out those episodes. And if you also haven't, if you're looking for a to-do list of things as we enter these really short, cold days, give us a follow if you haven't already on social media. We're kind of all over the place now on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. We're kind of covering the full gamut besides just doing this podcast here. This will always kind of be our bread and butter, but, you know, we're going to keep pumping out content on those social platforms as well. So if you don't already follow us and you want some more DMB content, give us a follow at Pod That Jane Likes. So yeah, I think that's about it for the 2023 fall tour. We certainly had a whole lot of fun and we equally had fun chatting about it with you all. And now we'll kind of throw on our big winter coats and, you know, stay warm for the next couple of weeks as we wait for, you know, news and things to roll out.
I'll just be sitting here waiting for Europe.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So for Jeanette, for Tricia, for Matt, I'm Sean, and we appreciate you tuning in, and we will see you next time on the Pod That Jane Likes.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.